that's what missions is all about. People like you and me getting saved and getting involved in missions to go and reach somebody else like us. Amen. Because Jesus Christ came for people like you and me. Turn in your hymnals to hymn 79. And we're going to stand as we sing this song because this is really hard to sit down and sing this. The Lord is good. 79. The Lord is good. Short song, but a good song.
Privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. And he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke and all things came to be. Yet he hears the simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow.
For having us. I've said before, Jeanette and I love the Dawsons, and we've known them for many, many years, and they're like children to us, and we are treated very, very well when we come here, and I travel all over the country in different parts of the world. I've been here. There's only one other place that I've preached more years than here, and that's the Nassau, Bahamas, and I've been there. Next Wednesday will be 122 times. So that's a good place to start a church, by the way. And you try to go there every January. That's a good time to be there. So we're kind of a little bit earlier this time. We're going here next week, and then we'll go back there in January for an annual vacation. But we have a wonderful church there in Nassau, Bahamas, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to see that church planted for the glory of God. Proverbs chapter 11. You find your place there, and once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, we'll hit this very hard for a few moments, and then we'll get to take our commitment. And if you've given yourself and you're going to give your support, then it will be tested tonight by how much substance you commit for this plan to get around the world. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week. I have thoroughly enjoyed, felt liberty doing the preaching, and I thank you for this group of people who have listened to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And Father, today we're making decisions, and we'll find out how much self has been given, how much support the next 12 months to the mission program of Shining Light Baptist Church, how much substance will be committed tonight to help get God's plan, Lord, accomplished and advanced through the people of God. Thank you for the promises you've made to your local church. I pray you'll take me tonight as your servant. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he gives what I call a practical precept from Proverbs. A number of years ago, I preached through the book of Proverbs, practical precepts from Proverbs, and there's some precepts that if we implement them in our lives, what a difference it would make. Here's a precept that he gives here about giving, and in this particular precept, if a local church and members of the local church will implement this practical precept in his or her life or in the local church, it will make a difference in how I give for the advancement of missions around the world. He gives an example of two farmers. Two farmers had some seed. One farmer, because he assessed things around him and was thinking about what he's going to gain from planting his seed, held on to his seed. Then you take another one who was not so concerned about himself, but was concerned about others, and the conditions he was facing and the circumstances didn't stop him. He planted his seed. So the one who planted the seed end up with more. The one who held on thinking about himself ended up in poverty. It's the same principle when we think about resources that have been entrusted to us by God. One person gives of what he has, and he always seems to have more. Anybody been there? Amen. I have. You'll find out, and I have. That's been tested. I was in business long before I got into ministry, and had the ability given to me by God to have just about anything we wanted. We changed our Lincoln every 18 months or so. Never kept it. We got 50,000. It wasn't good enough to drive, so we got rid of it and got enough. We carried the American Express and the Carte Blanche and the Diners Club. I even passed those on to my son when he went to college and paid the bill. I mean, we were just doing fine being in business, having all of that income coming in. And there came a point in my life where you got saved, called to preach, and realized that everything I had belonged to God. And people will say, if you give up all of that, you will never ever be able to recover it. We committed to give that to the Lord prior to getting out of business. The furthest my wife and I had ever traveled was Niagara Falls, Canada, as far as being out of the country. And it wasn't because we couldn't afford it. We could go live in any place we wanted to. And we went to Niagara Falls, took our children, even took them the year before we started in the ministry. And that's all we had. We gave up our business and didn't even sell it, closed it up because it interfered in the work of God. And today, we've traveled all over the world. We used to go to Europe every year and preached in around the country, been to the Bahamas 122 times. I have friends all over the world that I could literally empty my pocket, make a phone call on WhatsApp, and I will have tickets paid for, go any place in the world, because God has given us far more than we ever had when we had access to control it ourselves rather than realizing that it belonged to God and we were simply managers or stewards of that which God had given us. So now we find out that if we take what we have, involve it in the work of God, then the Bible tells us we scatter that, we'll have more. We withhold what doesn't belong to us, that belongs to God, we end up in poverty. Now, I could park on that and preach here for the next 30 minutes on that message alone. But that's just the kind of the appetizer of what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the next verse, verse number 25. It said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, the word liberal in most cases is not a good word. You have to be careful when you use the word liberal. Now, let me tell you some things about the word liberal and some things about the normal meaning of the word liberal. Here, as Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist Christians, at least for me and my family, there are some things we're not liberal about. For instance, as a preacher, I'm not liberal in my philosophy. I believe that you ought to be a Bible preacher. Most people are not interested in our opinions. They're interested in what God says. So I try as a preacher to not be liberal in my philosophy. I'm not liberal as a preacher and a pastor for almost 35 years. We're not liberal in our church in standards. We believe that Christian people ought to look like Christian people. I believe you ought to walk into a place and it ought to look like people are serving a holy God. So we're not liberal in standards. Hang on. We're not liberal in politics. Some people are liberal and they like liberal things. We're conservative people in our politics and what we believe. So we're not liberal in philosophy. We're not liberal in standards. We're not liberal in politics. Here's something else. We're not liberal in music. We think music ought to have the right melody and the right message. It ought to be just what God wants it to be. Now, having pastored for some 35 years, one of the things that we have to deal with all the time is trying to keep our people from being so liberal in the things that I have mentioned. People fight to be liberal in standards. Fight to be liberal in politics. Fight to be liberal in music. Fight to be liberal in philosophy. And you got to always think about that all the time, about how liberal people want to be. Well, I found something in the Bible that is all right to be liberal about. So all the people who want to be liberal, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you something you can be liberal about in a good sense and won't have to worry about being criticized. He said the liberal soul shall be made fat. That term liberal soul literally means a soul of blessing or a giving soul. He said that a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, one to whom blessings go out to other people, shall be made fat. I shall be blessed. In other words, if I'm liberal in my giving, I'm a soul of blessing. The Bible says the God who showers us with blessings will make us fat or make us blessed. If we think about missions, we think about the need, we think about the responsibility, it behooves all of us, if we're going to do the best that we can do, if we really believe that the mission of the church is missions, we really believe that God has given us this authentic plan, if we really believe that God has assured us of his promise, of his direct presence, his divine providence, if we really believe that God has made his power available to go across the street to another state, among the difficulty, around the world, and do it all at the same time, and all of that belongs to the church, and God says, I have chosen to use men, women, boys, and girls in my local New Testament church to advance that plan, and what I need more liberal souls to get the job done. Now that's my introduction. And all of you can relax. So what you want you to do the next few moments is learn how to be liberal in your giving. to get out God's plan to evangelize the world. We're going to stay right at these three verses, and I'm going to take these three verses, dissect them, and give you three thoughts from this passage that you will need to implement at the end of this conference here in just a few moments. I want to say, first of all, our time, our talent, and our treasure, all of that belongs to God. At best, I am a steward. The Bible says that it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So if I understand that my time and my talent and my treasure belong to Almighty God, and I'm a steward, I'm a manager of what belongs to Almighty God, therefore I'm accountable. Then God wants to depend upon me. Then God wants me to make that available for his purpose. I haven't found anything in the Bible that is more important to a Christian than what God does through his local church. The local church is where the time ought to go. The local church is where the talent ought to go. The local church is where the treasure ought to go. Why? I was on the slave market of sin, destined to a place called hell, and Jesus bought me back not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood. Therefore, I am no longer my own. I belong to him. My time belongs to him. My treasure belongs to him. My talent belongs to him. So what I want to do every day of my life, I want to involve it. I want to invest it. I want to increase in giving. Why? I want to be a liberal soul, a soul of blessing when it comes to that which is most important to God. Now, three things that will tell whether you are a liberal giver to missions. First of all, in verse 24, he said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The first thing I want you to understand about a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, a giving soul, that God wants to make that or bless, that soul is always generous in his or her giving. If you're a stingy person, you're not a liberal soul. If you have a hard time giving to the work of God, if you have a hard time giving to get missionaries around the world, you've never learned the generosity of giving. Giving is a part of worship. And God says, I want my people that are involved in my plan that's advancing that around the world, I want you to be a liberal soul. If you are a liberal soul, you are generous in your giving. You've learned the importance of doing everything that you can financially that the cause of your local church is advanced for the glory of God. That takes generosity. That takes people being generous in what they have, scattering it, investing it, involving it, increasing it on a consistent basis all the time. Why? I'm a liberal soul. I'm a soul of blessing. Now, as I become generous, I need to make sure that I am a generous church giver. We're not to go around and take our resources just to be able to feed the poor and take care of the world. Those things are important. Generosity needs to be in and through the local church. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. All right, so I need to be generous in my giving, but I need to be a church giver. Then I need to be consistent in my giving. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. A liberal soul or a soul of blessing is one who has learned proper giving. Now, very quickly, let me tell you what proper giving is for a generous giver. There are three P's of a generous giver toward the work of God. The first P is learning to pay. All right? If I want to be a generous giver, I start by paying God what I owe him. You heard me talk about this morning in Sunday school. The tithe is the Lord. That's an act of obedience. That is not a sign of spirituality. That's somebody having enough respect for Almighty God to do what he commands us to do. Tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law. So as a Christian who's coming before a God who's going to bless me, who's going to bless me if I'm liberal in my giving, is not going to bless me if I haven't learned to pay him. You don't get bonuses. You don't get extra for doing what you're supposed to do. You get that for going beyond where you're supposed to go. So the first principle is paying. That's an act of obedience. The second principle of giving is proving. All right? That's a sacrifice. That means that I'm proving to God that I really love him. I really care about him. That's where an offering comes in. Every year we ought to be seeking to do more of an offering to prove that this wonderful God, I'm not satisfied in just paying you, which you command me. I'm satisfied, God, by proving over and over that I want to do more for you because I love you. I saw the principle of a generous giver is consistent giving by paying your tithes, proving through a sacrifice, but then giving to beyond the tithe and offering has to be pleasing. Has to be pleasing. And we looked at that this morning. It's an attitude of the heart. Here's how I please God when I give to missions. First of all, I need to be a considerate giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. So I've got to understand, if I'm going to please God, I pay him my tithe. I prove to him that I love him by giving sacrificially. But every time I give for missions and beyond that, it has to be in a pleasing manner. God sees everything. That's why you saw the widow's mite. He saw what everybody was doing out of their abundance. They didn't have it in their heart. And he saw this woman willing to give everything because she loved him. So he says, I want to purpose. So when you give your missions gift tonight, you need to purpose in your heart. This is a heart matter. God, I do care. I do believe in the mission of the church. I do care about what you care about. I'm going to purpose in my heart. God, when I drop it in the offering plate, when I write it on the card, because you're omniscient and you see all things, you know that that's what I feel or sense in my heart. All right, so we must, first of all, give, purpose in the heart. Then he says, for God loveth a cheerful or hilarious giver. God is not pleased, I don't care how much you give, if you do it grudgingly. You don't do it cheerfully. You don't understand that it's a part of worship. So a liberal soul will always be a generous church giver who's consistent in his or her giving of paying, proving, and pleasing Almighty God. All right, now, that's the tough part. That gets it, get all, everything down where we are. But I want you to know where God didn't stop. He says, a liberal soul shall be made fat. How many believe that God is a God who blesses us? Amen. The promise here is, if I'm a generous giver, I take what God has allowed me to manage, scatter it for God, he makes a promise that I'm going to get something out of the deal. Look what he says in verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Here's what he's saying. If you're a liberal soul, you're going to be generous in your giving, a church giver who's consistently giving on a consistent basis. But here's something I want you to remind you of. Because you're the people involved in advancing my plan, if you are generous in your giving, here's what the God of heaven says. You will gain from your giving. Wow. Here's a God. He doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us one thing, but he knows that we're human beings. How many people love to get a blessing? Everybody. Well, God says, I know what you're made of because I made you. Therefore, he says, if you are generous in your giving, you're going to gain from your giving. And he reminds us, he says, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. I'm so glad that after I sow, I will gain from my sowing, and I will gain more than what I sow. Okay, you must first sow, and then it matters what you sow, and then you always get back more than you sowed. And he says two things I want us to understand about one who gains from his giving. Giving hands. God gives us, we take it, and give it to somebody else for the cause. This is what it is. I receive it. I'm a soul of a blessing. I give it to someone else. Giving hands or receiving hands. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So I need to understand, if I gain from my giving, then my giving hands are going to be receiving hands. Then I need to understand that sowing bountifully means I'm going to reap blessings. So it doesn't take much to figure this out. If I sow a little, what should I expect? Little. Don't try to sow a little and expect a lot. That's contrary to what he says in the word. And don't be trying to get and then give. Let's get it in the right place. It's give and get, not get and give. You know, nobody has problems giving out of having a lot. But giving out of what you don't have means you have to rely upon God. So he says, you want more from me? Sow more. Sowing bountifully will guarantee that I reap blessing. Because the liberal soul, the more liberal I am in my giving, the more I give to help other people, the more the God of heaven has promised that he's going to help me. Now, I could give you hundreds of illustrations, and it's not always in money. My son was telling me he drives all the time. He has a 2015 GMC Denali, and I was just telling him, we got to probably get rid of that. He just bought that thing. He has almost 90,000 miles on that truck driving back and forth, Tennessee, all over, preaching to young people, preaching around the world. And, of course, when he gets 100,000, it's not going to be worth anything. But he got this, and he was telling me the other day, you know, Dad, I've been traveling all over the country all this time. He said, I never had a flat tire. I mean, he's gone and preached sometime, and somebody walk up to him and shake his hand, and then he looks at it later on, and it's a sizable gift that somebody has given him just from preaching. God takes care of his people that take care of God's work. All right, the liberal soul shall be made fat. So a liberal soul, first of all, is a generous giver. The liberal soul gains from his giving. And then the last thing he says, and this is very important when it comes to mission, verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. This is a picture of a corn grower who holds back from selling his corn when things are scarce, waiting to get a better price. He's thinking about himself rather than thinking about other people. The gifts that God has entrusted into our hands must not be withheld for our own benefits, but used to be a blessing to someone else. So when it comes to missions, if I'm generous in my giving, I will gain from my giving. But sometimes if I understand the principle, my circumstances won't always be what I think they ought to be. Conditions of life won't always allow me to do what I want to do. This is where grace comes in. A liberal soul is gracious in his giving. That means he or she gives regardless of their conditions, regardless of circumstances, because God pours grace upon them. That's what missions is all about. It's grace giving. Learn to give. That's what the churches of Macedonia did. That's what the widow, about the widow's mite, that's what she did. And when we learn those principles that are found in the Word of God, God will bless in a very special way. So the mission of the church, the mission of Shining Light Baptist Church and every local New Testament church is missions. Church planting around the world. Arizona, across the ocean, across the street, another state, among the difficult, around the world, all at the same time. The plan was given to the church. A promise is there, assured. The power is there for us. But people like us must advance the plan. And God says, somewhere along the way, to get the job done, I've got to have some liberal souls. And if they'll trust me to be liberal in their giving, I promise them something. They'll gain from their giving. And if they take their eyes off their circumstances and look at me, I'll make them gracious in spite of those circumstances. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, my question tonight is, how fat's God's going to make you? And I'm not talking about in size. I'm talking about in blessing. A lot of that would depend upon how liberal you're going to be with that which God has entrusted you to reach out to other people. And God says, if you do that, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is the end of the preaching. Eight times you've heard messages this week. Lots of time was spent on explaining the mission of the church and talking about the plan and the promise and the power and how people must advance it for the cause of Christ. And we're going to end it by finding out how many people have given self. You've given self, the support will come and the substance you have will be made available, because there's a world that need missionaries to go, and your financial commitment will help them to go. And I hope God will find in this missions conference this year some liberal souls, some souls of blessings, some giving souls who will be generous because they know they'll gain from it. And what they can't see, they'll be gracious in giving anyway, because God will provide the grace and the faith to get the job done. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to have an invitation. And maybe tonight, before you make your final commitment, if God should speak to your heart about your giving, and if you can't honestly say tonight, I'm a liberal soul, maybe you ought to say, God, help me to be generous. Help me to be a liberal soul. Help me to take what I have and involve it, increase it, invest it in this great work of getting the gospel around the world. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, what an opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, died, was buried, raised again, and he wants you to have eternity with him. God speaks to your heart. You need to come tonight. Then you come as we pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege we've had this missions conference. Thank you for the men and women and young people who've come, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today. And I pray that you'll bring it all together, that there will be hearts that will be so moved that men and women and young people will become liberal souls, souls of blessings, giving souls. You make a difference in the lives as only you can. Now you speak to hearts tonight doing this final commitment to world evangelization. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the pianists begin to play, are you a liberal soul? The liberal soul shall be made fat. I think God deserves some liberal souls. We can be liberal about everything else. How about being liberal in our giving? God deserves that. How's your scattering? How's your sowing? How's your giving? The liberal soul shall be made fat. A giving soul shall be blessed. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for those who've come. Thank you for those who made decisions in their hearts all week long. Thank you for the opportunity we have as your children to be good stewards, to manage for you that which we owe you. May we be people who will pay our tithes, give our offerings to prove to you how much we love you, and give the world evangelization in the way that's pleasing to you. That takes an attitude of the heart. Help us to purpose in our heart. Help us to give consistently and to give cheerfully that we might see a world reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you bless the commitment that will be given and use this church in a very special way this year. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.